This morning's responsive read was taken from Psalm number 8. So if you would like to join us at this time, feel free to take your Bible and open up to Psalm number 8. First off, notice verse 1 and verse 9. It's almost like a sandwich. When you have a sandwich, whether you use a hamburger bun or a submarine loaf of bread, or just two plain pieces of bread, whether it's white bread, wheat bread, rye bread, pumpernickel bread, you normally are going to have two slices of bread, the normal sandwich, and you have the filler, everything that's in between. And that can be probably cheese, some type of meat. You may top it off with tomato, onion, mayo, mustard, lettuce, whatever, and then you consume it. Well, if you look at Psalm 8, it's like a sandwich. The first slice says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And then you look at verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So in verses 1, we have earth and heaven, heaven and earth is mentioned. And then in verse 9, we simply have the heavens are mentioned. So there's the two slices of bread. So now the question is, what's inside the sandwich? What is the meat of the issue? What is the thing that composes and makes the sandwich a sandwich? Two slices of bread by themselves is not a sandwich. You have to have the filler. And the filler, believe it or not, is actually a question. A question is now posed and an answer given. Notice the question in verse 4. What is man? We can also say, who is man? What is man? Who is man? That thou art mindful of him, that God would even condescend and to behold his creatures fashioned and molded in his image, which we read about in Genesis 1 and 2. Who or what is man that God would even be mindful of him? And the Son of Man, kind of a play on words, because Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man more often than any other title in the four Gospels. The term or the phrase Son of Man, Jesus uses to identify himself in his public ministry. He uses those words more frequently than any other term or any other phrase. And so there are some commentators who are looking at this saying, who or what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Well, who visited man? Who condescended to this world and tabernacled with mankind? The Son of Man, if you will. So that's an interesting take on that verses 4. But if you don't believe that, that's fine. But at least we can contemplate the question. What is man? Who is man? That thou, O Lord, would even consider him. Especially in light of what man has now become by the fall. You got to admit, prior to the fall of Adam and Eve, as it's recorded in Genesis 3, prior to that, there was a very intimate, open relationship between God the Creator and Adam and Eve, the creatures. A very open relationship. Even their nakedness before his holy eyes caused no fear on their part, no shame, no guilt. They weren't hiding when God came to them in the garden prior to the fall. And the fact that God had intimate fellowship with him. But now, because of the fall, We can now ask, who or what is man? Well, now man has become the enemy of God by virtue of the fall, that thou art mindful of him, that God would even think and contemplate puny man in his total depravity, waging war against God Almighty, like in Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and the kings of this earth basically point their swords in the face of the Almighty? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Now, there are those who tell us that man is nothing more but an evolved ape. He's just an orangutan. He's a gorilla. He's nothing but a chimp that has evolved over eons of time. That man is just simply a biological accident, a freak of nature, if you will. Well, if you take that and you work it out, then eventually all human life is basically cheap. And we've seen that played out in our society, and we've also seen that played out in human history. How many wars have we had where we have liquidated an entire generation of men and women, or an entire group of people, an outright genocide? What about the murders that are committed in the streets? What about the number of babies that we flush down the toilet or thrown in a black trash bag in the dumpster behind the abortion clinic? You got to admit that today we live in a world now that life is cheap. My word. You can kill someone today and you might get off with simply probation. You might be given a few details to pick up trash for a few days and then you're back on your merry way to go back and kill again. Life is cheap if you take the formula that we're nothing but a biological accident. But notice what the Bible says. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him. And these words, beloved, are also found in Hebrews to describe the condescension of the Son of God to this planet in the womb of the Virgin, to be born Jesus of Nazareth, the God-man. The same words are used to denote Jesus in his flesh, in his condescension, in his humility. But when it came to us being made, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and has crowned him with glory and honor. So on one side of the equation, man is a biological accident. He's nothing but an animal that has evolved over eons of time from a primordial soup which came about from a big bang. We're just an accident. We shouldn't be here, but here we are. No rhyme, no purpose to life at all. Life is nothing but doggy eating dog. Step on people, climb the corporate ladder, kill as many as you can. Get everything that you can, and then you can it, and then you keep it. But according to the Bible, man has a certain dignity to him. Human life has been crowned with glory and honor. Therefore, all human life is precious, all human life has dignity, and all human life is to be preserved. Whether in the womb, are in the closing days while in hospice. We don't just take those people and put them out in the backyard to die with grace. Even in those closing hours of life, all human life, even at that point, is to be treated with dignity and all the years in between. That's what man is. He's not a biological accident. He is a creature that was molded and fashioned by the very hands of the Almighty. And then to have God the Holy Spirit itself breathe into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul, according to Genesis chapters 1 and 2. What else does it say? Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. So that creation ordinance that you read about in Genesis 1 and 2 is still on the books. Thou hast put all things under his feet. That's still on the books. All sheep, oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. So guess what? When we ask the question, who or what man is, the bottom line answer is, he is the guardian and the custodian of this world. He's the guardian and the custodian and the keeper of this world. So yes, man does have a responsibility to take care of nature, to take care of the animals, to take care of the environment, not in some slavish, idolatrous worship. We don't worship Mother Earth or Gaia. We don't worship the trees and the bugs and the bats and the fish, but we are to be good stewards of what God has given us, to include this world. There's nothing wrong with that. But once we take that concept and we move it over into a slavish, idolatrous worship of the creature at the expense of the Creator, then we've crossed the line into idolatry. So there's nothing wrong in being a good steward and taking care of the world, taking care of our animals and pets, having a conservation mentality, taking care of what God's given to us. There's nothing wrong, as long as we don't make it into an idol. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So somehow, this concept of God's name, how excellent is God's name, verse 9 and verse 1, seems to be apparently tied into the creation of man. Because that's the two slices of bread. Verses 1, verse 9. And then all that filler is verses 2 to verse 8. And it talks about simply a question. Who or what is man? He's not an accident. He's not a freak of nature. He's not made of stardust, okay? He's not made of an asteroid. He was made separately from all the animals and all the creatures and all the critters, specially made on that last day. That was the last crowning act of creation when God made man in his image. Well, may God bless his word, and may you come to realize that all human life, in the womb, or close to the tomb, is worth honor and glory and dignity. Amen.